So quiet. You know what impresses me about you all is that those of you who hosted the Christmas party and those of you who recreated the labyrinth are still standing today and showed up at church. Oh my gosh. Thank you for all the work you've done and for showing up. I think I see some Sunday afternoon naps in your future. So let me give you 2,000 years of church history in a nutshell. The first 300 or 400 years after Jesus was a free-for-all in Christianity. There were lots of different groups that believed lots of different things. You never knew what you were going to get as you went from group to group, kind of like unity. So the emperors over the centuries started trying to impose some order on all of this. It was like herding cats. But they convened councils and then they issued decrees about what Christianity ought to be. And once they'd established a set of beliefs or creeds, they set about trying to bring everyone on board. The people who had to be convinced were the pagans. They already had their gods, thank you very much. And they had holidays. They loved their holidays. The smartest thing the church did was to incorporate pagan holidays into Christianity. And thus, Christmas was born. We're in a series called Season of Light. Across the Northern Hemisphere, different cultures have found reasons to light up the long dark nights in December. Last week we talked about Hanukkah, when 8 candles are lit on 8 evenings. Next week is the winter solstice, the return of the sun. And today is about the season of Advent, the 4 weeks of preparation for Christmas. Roman pagans had a holiday called Saturnalia. It was a horrible week of violence and debauchery when the law was not enforced. One of the things they did was to pick a scapegoat, a person. They would force that person to indulge in food and other pleasures and then kill them to destroy the forces of darkness, almost as if that person took away the sins of the group. During Saturnalia, people got drunk and went from house to house singing like carolers, except they were naked. I'm just reporting my research here. They also, in this season, ate human-shaped biscuits. And I had to think about that, and then gingerbread men. Okay. So in the 4th century, the Christian church recruited pagans by promising they could still have Saturnalia. Saturnalia ran from December 17th to the 25th. So to make it Christian, the church said, let's designate December 25th as Jesus' birthday. He hadn't really had a birthday before that. So on the earliest Christmases, people still got drunk and sang naked in the streets. And they still had their scapegoats. For many centuries, Christmas became an opportunity to abuse and kill Jews. As late as 1881, a dozen Jews in Poland were killed in anti-Semitic riots at Christmas. The pagans also worshiped trees. Sometimes they brought them inside into their homes and decorated them. Mistletoe comes from Saturnalia. So does gift giving. The emperors would pick on people they hated and force them to bring gifts to the emperor. The church transferred the gift-giving idea to St. Nicholas. And there is a long story of how this bishop from Turkey, who died in 345, turned into Santa Claus over the next 16 centuries. But once again, the church kept absorbing other deities. In Italy, Nicholas replaced the grandmother goddess, who filled children's stockings with gifts. In Germany, he replaced Woden, a god with a long white beard who rode a horse through the heavens just one evening a year in the autumn, his flight was moved to Christmas. In the 1800s, a Dutch novelist wrote a satire of Dutch culture and called St. Nicholas Santa Claus, which is Dutch, and an American poet in 1822 used that idea to write The Night Before Christmas about the flight of a long-bearded figure. That poem is what added reindeer and coming down chimneys. Thomas Nast, a cartoonist for Harper's Weekly, put Santa at the North Pole, gave him a workshop with elves and a list of good and bad children. And then, of course, in the 1930s, a Swedish commercial artist working for Coca-Cola was asked to draw a Santa who drank Coke and wore a red suit to match Coke's branding. He modeled his Santa on the face of a cheerful, chubby friend, and that's Santa today. So when you are admonished to keep the Christ in Christmas, just remember, Christmas has never been purely about the birth of Jesus. Saturnalia was so awful that the Puritans made Christmas illegal in Massachusetts in the early 1600s. They didn't want a Jesus holiday based on debauchery. But there seems to be a real human need to have some fun around this time of year, despite the church's best efforts, which brings us to Advent. It was the 4th century when the church imported Saturnalia and attached it to the birth of Jesus, when the church invented Christmas. And it wasn't long until the priests started preaching about preparing for Christmas. But they weren't anticipating joy. It was penitence and fasting, like Lent. You should change your ways, you miserable sinner. 40 days of fasting wasn't terribly popular. So over the centuries, the church kind of backed off. First, they said, all right, only clergy have to fast. And then only monks had to fast. Today, the Greek Orthodox Church still does some fasting. They call it the Nativity Fast. They almost become vegans. No milk, no eggs, no meat, but they still eat fish. St. Gregory, who became pope in the year 590, made Advent an official season, and it became more about prayerful preparation and joy. And it's still developing. Advent wreaths, like ours, are less than 100 years old. Advent calendars, did you have those as a child when you opened a little window every day? I loved that. And then the hanging of the greens, which is decorating the church for Christmas. I didn't know it had a name. Churches sometimes have special music for Advent, like Handel's Messiah. In the traditional church, Advent represents longing for the Messiah and also being alert for the second coming. For us, Advent is a season to expand our capacity to experience the divine presence in us, to make room in our lives for the awareness that we are spiritual beings, the same way you make room for a baby and then protect this fragile new life. Advent is about space and silence. You remember there was no room at the inn? Imagine a traveler's inn, busy, crowded, noisy, distracting our minds on a typical day. So Advent is settling into the stable. Peace, quiet, to renew our awareness of the Christ within. The four Sundays before Christmas are each assigned a divine quality. There is not universal agreement about them. The first Sunday is sometimes faith and sometimes hope. The second is peace. The third and fourth are love and joy, or joy and love, depending on your Google search. The color for Advent is purple, which is a somber liturgical color. So some churches use blue to brighten things up, and the third Sunday can be a rose color. Now, in a high church, these are the colors of the priest's vestments. For us, it's the colors of the candles in the Advent wreath. But let's go back to those divine attributes. because they're part of our spiritual nature, and it is the divine in us that we celebrate at Christmas. Faith, peace, love, joy. They're not emotions. They are part of our essence. Faith, the Bible says, is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So what do we know for sure? As surely as we know the sun will rise in the morning, but we can see the sun, what do we know that's unseen? That all things are possible through the divine within? That we are loved and have access to infinite love for others? That we have a purpose for being on earth? We don't have to have blind faith in what we're taught. We can have understanding faith because we understand divine law. We know there are principles that govern our lives, and we can work with them, just as we work with the natural principles of gravity or mathematics or music. We might not know how a spiritual law works, but we have faith that it does. And you know the laws or principles that are the foundation of all unity teachings. God is all there is and absolute good. Therefore, humans are divine and inherently good. Our thoughts have the power to create our experience. We stay conscious of the divine presence through prayer and meditation. And we live these truths in our lives every day. We have faith in those principles. We know they are laws we can live by. Peace is part of the Christmas tradition. At the birth of Jesus, the angels proclaimed, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those whom he favors." When Jesus grew up, he said, "God really favors all of us." Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." The Apostle Paul said, "It is to peace that God has called you." Peace is a state of being. In unity, we affirm, "Nothing can disturb the calm peace of my soul." That divine part of you is always at peace. It's part of your wholeness, part of the divine presence in you. And you can always find that place of peace within, no matter what's going on around you or what you see on the news. Remember, we really are living in the most peaceful time this planet has ever known. It's true, there are fewer wars and fewer conflicts. It doesn't feel that way because every time there's a shooting or a bomb anywhere in the world, we hear about it, we see it, and it feels as if it's happening next door and it's happening all the time. We can choose our perspective about that. We can choose our reaction. We can choose peace. Peace on earth, goodwill to humankind. Goodwill is love. Today is the Sunday of Advent when we celebrate love, and our true nature is love. We're made in the image and likeness of God, and God is love. Jesus' two most important commandments were about love. Love God, your neighbor, and yourself. And as we've said before, the English language uses the word love for too many different things. Other languages break it down. Agape is the Greek word for unconditional love, forgiveness, compassion, charity. Metta is the Pali word for loving kindness. Pali, P-A-L-I, is the language of early Buddhism. So metta means nonviolence, friendliness, goodwill. The Apostle Paul described this kind of love in a letter to the church in Corinth. It was a church in conflict, and they'd been writing to Paul and complaining about each other. And he said, "It doesn't matter what you do or how exalted your spirituality is if you can't love each other." And he told them what love looks like. And you can hear him calling out the church members on their behavior. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. By choosing love, you can consciously evolve into the person you want to be. And what a feeling of joy that brings. The fourth week of Advent is joy. It's the week that includes Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. We celebrate the arrival of Jesus, whose presence on earth changed the course of history, and we give thanks for the Christ presence within us. Joy is the essence of your divinity. So again, faith, peace, love, and joy are not emotions. They're what you are. They're the divine core of you. They're what the Who's in Whoville were expressing when they joined hands and sang on Christmas morning, even after the Grinch stole all the presents. Faith, peace, love, joy. Now, do you live in a consciousness of faith, peace, love, and joy all season? Some years are better than others, right? Please don't beat yourself up for not being happier at the holidays. Most of us are not living in a Hallmark commercial. In this season of light, there will also be shadows. We're celebrating light at the darkest time of year, literal darkness, the longest nights. So the season of light is about the interplay of light and darkness. We're giving birth to our own spark of light. But a baby preparing to be born is in darkness. He emerges into the light. And births are not easy. They're not all faith, peace, love, and joy. Even in the Christmas story, there's some doubt, fear, and frustration. Have you noticed that every character in the Christmas story is out of his or her comfort zone? Mary is 9 months pregnant, riding on a donkey. Joseph is with this woman whose baby is not his. The shepherds are called by angels to leave their flocks in the field, which is a firing offense. And the wise men are wandering in the dark desert trying to follow a star, seeking the Christ light. We do the best we can each year, and we invoke our God qualities, having faith that we are divine even when we don't feel like it, choosing peace even when we see violence and conflict, expressing love, knowing that we have an infinite supply of love as the divine expresses through us, and knowing joy. Joy that we, as spiritual beings, have entered this human experience just as Jesus did to bring light to the world. So listen to this. These are song lyrics from Sloan Wainwright and Jan Garrett, who have been here, about preparing for the return of the light. Lullaby, my dearest child, let the world go for a while. It will spin and make its way gently while you're sleeping. Unseen guides bless your life. Set aside the how and why. Restore your soul and rest assured safely in their keeping. Sacred Mother, full of grace, surrender to her dark embrace. For deep inside this winter's night is birthed the coming of the light. Receive this kindness as a prayer. You will find such comfort there. The love divine, her grand design, will breathe into being. Sacred Mother, full of grace, surrender to her dark embrace. For deep inside this winter's night is birthed the coming of the light. Receive the coming of the light. Let's take these thoughts into meditation. When we meditate, we become still and create space within so that we will know and be aware of that divine presence that is always with us and within us. You might imagine that you have left the noisy world behind and entered into a stable a cave, really. With a couple of animals there, just peacefully munching on hay. You can get comfortable and take a deep breath. And go within to nurture the light of Christ in you. We go through this season every year to be reminded of the light within. And at Christmas, we bring it forth to be the light of the world. Picture that light in you. Listen to hear whether it has anything to say to you. Feel its warmth. And imagine that you are taking this ball of light from your heart with both hands and extending it into the world. You are the light of the world. You are the divine presence born to the earth. Angels rejoiced at your birth. It is from this place of peace within that we bring forth our divine light. We're so grateful for this awareness, grateful for a new opportunity each year to remember who we truly are and to turn up the light again. We say thank you, God. Amen.